This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
He's back from Falcons football. What's happening?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Every day I have felt better.
Well, that's the goal of every American worker.
Well, for me right now it is. I can now get up a flight of stairs without being out of breath. And that to me is
progress.
Have you
walked to the mailbox?
I have.
Okay.
Not out of breath.
So get Hannah Steelman on the phone.
Yeah, no, I'm not ready for Hannah. Hannah's over there at NC State running circles around people.
Hannah was at the Olympic trials, and you're trying to get to the mailbox.
I just want to get to the mailbox without hurting myself.
Okay.
But I'm feeling good, man. Every day I feel better.
You know why you're feeling good?
Because we're closer to
That's
kicking the
exactly
pig.
That's exactly right. Yes.
We want to kick the pig next Thursday. Kick it. We're going to be in Raleigh.
I really think you ought to drag out some of the old Southern Fried football stuff next week. Maybe like, Friday you wear one.
You want
of those
me to just roll in there my 45-foot Winnebago, go find it in the shack, dust it off? Chicken wing football. I mean, all that stuff's trademarked. Somebody tries to use it, I will sue you. I told you that. I will sue you like nobody's business. I will call my cast of lawyers, whoever they are.
Here's the thing.
What would you like me to bring from the Southern Fried Football Tour next week?
T-shirts or whatever you got.
I'll wear a Southern Fried Football T-shirt.
You still got some left,
I got a ton of them upstairs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Maybe we do those on Friday.
I'm not sure ACC Network would appreciate. Well, of course, it's my company, so I guess I could
do what you want.
I am the president of Southern Fried Football Incorporated, so I probably could wear that. But I want to be a little bit more presentable for Tuffy and NC State Nation.
I didn't say Thursday. I said like Friday, like this Friday.
Oh yeah, I can. That's easy.
T-shirt Friday. We do one more since my man Bob called here last week and was concerned about T-shirt Friday. Wasn't that his name?
Yeah.
T-shirt
Friday. We can do that. Yeah. I can Southern Fried Football. Southern Fried Football you on Friday. That's easy.
I spoke to a group last night in the Atlanta area, a corporate event that I do every year for college football.
Corporate event. Was this the oil company that
No. This was Womble Bond Dickinson, which is a Southeast law firm, as you know.
They may be my partners. Some fool out there starts using Southern Fried Football.
Well,
I may need a contact.
So anyway, I spoke with those folks last night and their clients, and we had a great conversation about football. But I said, there's really not been any offseason. And one of the questions was, what do you think the alliance will be? I don't know. Well, this morning, we have a little bit more information. According to Yahoo Sports, and it's been confirmed by Adam Rittenberg and some folks at ESPN.com, we've got an idea. Maybe what the Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC conglomerate is going to be. And I got to be honest with you. It's not embarrassing.
Of course not. that was embarrassing. apparently, there could be an announcement made as early as today.
Right.
With the Alliance.
That's it.
And we'll talk to David Hale later in the program. Your buddy Roddy Jones will be with us as well. Everybody's going to speculate until you get the formal announcement.
Sure.
But everything that people have been speculating about, according to Yahoo Sports, seems to be in the neighborhood. You know, it's got a combination of scheduling and governance and obviously cash. You always talk about television rights in this day and age. The college football playoffs discussed. So it's a combination of all that. But I think one of the things that I learned, which really confirmed everything we've been talking about when you brought this up last week, was the AAU. And the
That's
fact.
That's exactly right.
I mean, everybody that rolled their eyes, oh, it's got nothing to do with it. I hate to break the news to you. It's got everything to do with it that you had this, you call it the conglomerate, the alliance here. But when you've got everybody from presidents and chancellors at the highest level, having these discussions going, hey, you know what? We are very, very comfortable working with the likes of the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, regardless of your position. They can get stuff done. Yeah. And here we are, which this story broke about, 10 days ago?
Yes, sir.
In which all of a sudden you found out, whoa, these three leagues are working together, which you know they were working prior to the media getting their hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no doubt that when you got everybody at the highest level, and 40% of the AAU fall in the footprint of the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12, they're getting something done. And there's going to be a lot of tied in. So, again, a lot of speculation still. However, appears that an announcement could come today.
Not just another pretty face over here, folks. When he said to you last week, quote, if this is being done along the lines of the AAU, that gives these three commissioners – not carte blanche, but the power to move forward faster right. than if they have to go and convene boards of trust and do things like that. The fact that they're all AAU schools and the AAU influence in this PAC has expedited this process significantly through this.
And, you know, people want to talk about the college football playoff. I know in the afternoon I've had so many SEC fans call up and go, oh, they're out to get us. And I'm like, well, how do you know? I mean, where does this nonsense conspiracy theory come from? Now, you don't even know what the alliance is. I'm not even sure the alliance knows what the alliance is right now. So what makes you think they're out to get you? I will just say this with the playoff, and this is just purely an opinion. I say it all the time. You want the answer to a question, follow the money. You know, if it can turn out that everybody makes a ton more cash,
right.
If this thing goes from 4 to 6 to 8 to 12 to 16 to 258, I don't care. You pick the number. But 12 seems to be what the working group came up with. If there is a way that it can go to 12 and everybody makes a ton of cash, something tells me, you know what?
Yeah.
They're all going to get along.
Yeah.
I'm just, call me crazy. But that's what I think is going to happen.
All right, here's the Adam Rittenberg tweet last night that kind of confirms the Yahoo reporting of Pete Thamel and Dan Wetzel last night. Adam says, can confirm the much-anticipated ACC Big Ten Pac-12 alliance set to be announced Tuesday. Sources tell ESPN. Source said Big Ten had a call tonight to discuss. PACT, P-A-C-T, involves scheduling, governance, college football playoff, and more. Yahoo is first to report announcement on Tuesday. Okay, let's get through the scheduling piece. We've had fun with that. We've talked about potential matchups, all those things. All right, that's just one angle of this. I want to go to the governance part of this. I think the governance part of this is one that you probably need to keep an eye on. Because remember now, Sandy Barber, the athletics director at Penn State, Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the Big Ten, I'm drawing a blank on the Pac-12 member. They're all in the Constitutional Congress that I'm calling it, by the way. I know it's not the Constitutional Congress, but it just feels like that for the NCAA. We're getting John Hancock and all these folks together, and they're gonna sit in a big room, and they're going to start talking about rewriting the NCAA rulebook. So it might as well be the Constitutional Congress. You agree with that? The governance factor of this is as key as the college football playoff, the scheduling, and all that?
I think it's the least sexy of the topics.
Well, thanks.
All right. And the reason I bring that up is because for the most part, other than eggheads like us that will end up spending time on this, everybody wants to talk about the scheduling. Everybody wants to talk about college football playoff because it's the games, right? Fans want to talk about the potential of games. Sure. College football playoff expansion, regular season games, ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, whatever the combination may be. But the governance part might be actually, in some respects, the most important, because that is the power, right? We talk about the money. Well, guess what's right behind it? Power and control.
Right.
And given the NCAA's, we're going to find out in November, these three leagues have certainly appeared to position themselves to be the group that says, hey, here's what we think would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. Now let's vote.
Yeah.
If you don't think veto power, having a sense of what direction college athletics needs to go in, you're crazy. I mean, again, like I said, it's the least attractive on the surface to the fans, but it might be the most important in terms of the big picture, long term.
Other element, according to the Yahoo report, is that the in-state rivalry games involving the ACC and the SEC would stay in the rotation.
Can I say something? Can I interject something?
I would like for you to do that here, yes.
You know, that is according to the alliance. Now, this is so true. It takes two to tango. You don't even know what Greg Sankey's position will be on this. And not to get too far ahead of down the road here, but you would have to assume the Southeastern Conference, with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas, will now, and I'd love to be a fly on the wall just seeing how they do this. From a scheduling standpoint, that conference may have to increase from 8 conference games to 9, 10. I don't know what the number is going to be. I'd be stunned if it stays status quo at 8. The reason I bring that up is if you go from 8 even just to 9, you're kicking a non-conference opportunity to the road. If you got the alliance down the road over here going, hey, The ACC is going to play one from the Big Ten, one from the Pac-12. All of a sudden, your universe of scheduling gets tight. Mm-hmm. And if the Southeastern Conference isn't real thrilled with the alliance, I don't want to go crazy speculation here, but this is what it is. Who knows if those games survive?
Right.
I have no earthly idea. But I think everything is on the table at this point in time once this alliance announcement's made. I think everything is fair game.
The ACC, which already plays 8 conference games, according to the Yahoo report, will continue to do so. The Big Ten potentially could reduce from 9 to 8.
You like that. See, you and
here we go with scheduled methodology.
Me and you have differed on this from day one. I've told you I don't care how many conference games you play.
I know.
You know, it's up to the league to determine who your champion is. But everybody has screamed. Everybody has screamed. It's the funny thing about all this is, and I go back to the radio show again, and I've heard this for a decade on SiriusXM. Man, those folks in the ACC and the SEC, they need to get their heads on straight. And I keep hearing this. I'm going, well, you do know that in the college football playoff era, the most successful leagues, by far, not even close, not even worth a debate, have been the SEC and the ACC. And they're the two that play 8. Maybe the rest of you have it screwed up, and you should come to 8. I've said that since 2014. Mm-hmm. And when I read the Yahoo story last night, I just laughed and went, well, who knows what's going to be announced today. But if that's the case, how ironic is that? That everybody goes to 8. Now, I'll go back to the SEC story. I just can't believe you can add Oklahoma and Texas and stay at 8 if you're the SEC. Just, I don't know how you do that. So we'll see where it goes. Again, it's all speculative at this point.
I've had people tell me they expect the Southeastern Conference to go to 4 pods of 4.
Why not? Yeah, you do what you got to do.
Right.
What works for your league may not work for everybody else. Sorry,
but Mike. In your mind, real quick here in this opening segment,
yes,
in
sir.
Your mind, before we get to a really key academic stat, before we go to break, how important is it to be symmetrical or congruent with the conference games in the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the ACC? Does it matter to you?
I told you, I don't care how many conference games you play. You know, your strength of schedule is the most important aspect. And not all leagues are built the same. So if you play 8, the other guy plays 10, I don't care. Go play a great schedule.
Yeah, okay.
Period. Go play it.
Let's see what the details are. And by the way, sidebar to all of this with the alliance, George Klevikoff, the new commissioner of the Pac-12, by the way, commissioner, welcome to the fast track of college athletics. You thought that gambling and entertainment world was fun. You've been on the job about 45 days.
Welcome to the club.
You've been speed racer 45 days. George Klevikoff, it's been reported, Las Vegas Review Journal and other newspapers are talking about the potential of the Pac-12 looking to expansion. So take all that. We'll see what happens later today. Remember, we started this conversation by talking about the academic side of the house and the Association of American Universities? Well, our friend Brian Ives cobbled together average U.S. News and World Report rankings of conference members. There's where we go. ACC 55th. Big Ten, 63rd, Pac-12, 79th, SEC, 113, Big 12, 141. Highest-ranked ACC school is Duke at 12.
Some are not like the others. You can see that list right there and draw a line right in the sand from academia/athletics of who's tag-teamed. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. I mean, look, these conversations, again, the AAU thing, Pac says – Andrew Adelson talked about this last week. It's not very sexy. It's not what anybody wants to talk about. Don't want to hear that your business school against my medical school or your engineering school against, you know, my school for something else, you know, journalism, communications.
The decision of the alliance is not made by athletic directors.
That's correct.
It's made by presidents and chancellors. And you know what they do? They like to get together and say, guess what? Business school, your chemistry department. It is why you could not dismiss it weeks ago. That if you don't think that's part of the equation, you are crazy.
That's why the chairman of the economics department at Clemson gets together and puffs his chest out and goes, you know one of our proudest graduates?
That's it. You listen to the guy with the econ degree, Wes. I'll handle the math and the business part, and you be the broadcaster. And I'm bringing Southern Fried Football stuff if you want it.
I think we should wear it for T-shirt
Do you
Friday.
Think Boo Corgan's got enough space up there at Carter-Finley for me to bring in the old 45-foot Winnebago with Budweiser and Bojangles stuff hanging off the side of it?
You don't have a 45-foot Winnebago in your name right now. You got a lot of other things going on. All right, big show coming up. David Hale at 8 o'clock. My partner, Roddy Jones, at 9 today. Roddy's got some thoughts.
I hope so. He's doing an interview at 9. Well, he better have some thoughts.
He's got some thoughts. We kept talking about the big week one, ranked games, all sorts of challenges awaiting the ACC and opportunities. Who are the best coaches at not getting beat twice?
Back to back,
right? You stumble in that first one. How's the second one go? We put our research department to the strenuous test. They've cobbled numbers, and we got them. Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. All harmonious here in the basement on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham from the basement together. And will be the rest of the week. It is show number 445. 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program. All right, Wes, you hear this all the time. Play a big game, somebody's ranked. Man, don't want to beat you twice. You hear it all the time.
Right.
Right? And so our crack staff, smart people up there in Bristol, have put together a combination of Atlantic Division and Coastal Division of how well your boys have done after a loss to a ranked team.
Well, and here's the concept, because you know how the ACC fires out of the gate this year, right? There's several games against ranked opponents. So now the element is, how's your coach handled that? And in some cases, you know, pretty interesting. And this kind of ties into where we're going, I think, as a football conference, too, when you're trying to stack blocks on top of blocks, especially early.
Well, the object's to win these games.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's emphasize that first.
That's right.
But if in case you take the L, you want to make sure it doesn't become a lingering problem.
Now, some bodies of work are a little bigger than others, obviously. Right. Tenure and that kind of thing. Let's start with Jeff Hafley. I mean, 4-0 after losses to ranked opponents last year. This year, only ranked opponent he's going to see, at least so far, is Clemson. Good for Jeff Hafley. And I tell you what, the dirt and the details on that first year are really impressive when you step back and start looking at little things like this.
I think that's a really impressive number, because year one, taking over, head coach for the first go-around, he didn't inherit Clemson, right? He inherited some issues. He got Phil Jakovic. But you know what? They get fired up for a ranked game. They lost it. Guess what? The next week, they're ready to play.
Right.
That, to me, is good coaching.
Yeah. So there you see Clemson on October the 2nd, right here on ACC Network. And interesting to kind of see how that plays out for Boston College. Another guy who maybe did not have the similar success in year one, but nonetheless I think did a pretty good job in this kind of element, was Mike Norvell at Florida State. He was 2-0 last year after losses to ranked opponents.
That would probably be a pretty good bar bet. I'm not sure a lot of ACC football fans that really do follow it would have thought that Mike Norvell and Jeff Hafley would have a zero in the loss column following a loss to a ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you see this happen all the time, Wes. Teams get fired up. They play a big game. They lose. Then next week, they are as flat as the day is long, right? And you're like, man, who are those guys? They don't even look like the same team that played the week before.
Right.
Happens all the time in college football. So the fact that Jeff Hafley and Mike Norvell have a zero in the L column, to me, is a good sign.
Yeah. How about five ranked opponents for Florida State and Georgia Tech's schedule are unbelievable when you start looking at this.
Well, here's the other thing. I think even when you look deeper at Florida State's schedule, it's where they play on the road.
Right.
At Wake, at North Carolina, at Clemson, late at Boston College, and at the Swamp. That's nasty.
Yeah, it is.
That's filthy.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Dabo Swinney, 12-4 at Clemson following a loss to a ranked opponent. 1-0 last year, Notre Dame. And since 2011, 9-0. The only one game against a ranked opponent this year so far is Georgia.
Pretty big game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Dabo will be on with us tomorrow morning at 9:30. There you go. Coach Sweeney.
How about that? There's the Clemson dossier for the year, if you will.
You know, the Georgia game will be great. And like I said 100 times, the loser of that game is still in a position to run the table and get to the college football playoff. Right. I mean, it's a big deal. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
It's a great game. It's a great rivalry game. Everybody wants to see it. Two terrific teams. But, you know, if you win it, great. Terrific. Party like a rock star, but get ready for your next game. But if you lose it, hey, pick yourself up and get going. Yeah. Go win out.
Dabo Sweeney, 9:30, as Pac just said, right here on Packer and Durham. Looking forward to having Coach with us. Scott Satterfield at Louisville, 3-2 following a loss to a ranked opponent at Louisville, was 1-2 last year. And again, only opponent so far ranked on the card schedule, Clemson. I keep coming back to these guys, and you said this yesterday. You just don't know.
I have
you?
No idea. No, don't ask me. If you call into the show, you can ask Wes. But if you're a Louisville fan and you call in the show and say, Pac, what do you think about? Please stop. I have no idea what these guys are going to do. I really don't. I hope they have a great year. I root for everybody. On ACC Network, you want everybody to win every game. You know,
love all, serve all.
But yeah, right. But I really have no clue what these guys are going to do. I really don't. To me, this is the biggest Jekyll and Hyde mystery team in the league. For me. Now, some folks make a pack here crazy. It's easy. They're going to go 9-3. Awesome. Hope they do.
Yeah.
But that first game with Ole Miss, I have no idea what that thing's going to look like.
Yeah.
That's... Other than a lot of points.
we'll look really smart.
I saw
that ends up 17-13 or something, we're going to look really smart.
Well, I mean, they could. I mean, I saw Lane Kiffin's quotes yesterday from his scrimmage. He said, man, our defense really tackled well. I'm thinking, what? Who put something in my bourbon?
Looked like a rain of football on grass at Vaughn Hemingway last year.
I think both those teams are going to score a ton of points. At least it feels that way.
All right. Dave Doran, and I want to do this, and we don't have this ready, but I'm going to guess that Dave Doran's 7-10 at NC State. If you did what we did with Dabo Sweeney, break it down after, you know, 5 or 6 years building that, then you take the last 3 or 4 years, I bet the number's a little different. They were 2-1 last year following a loss to a ranked opponent. 7-10 in his tenure in Raleigh. They have 3 ranked teams this year, Carolina, Miami, and, of course, Clemson on the roster for the Wolfpack.
I like NC State this year. I do. I think they are completely comfortable with North Carolina, their arch rival, receiving all this attention during the regular season.
Right.
I think they're sitting there with all those starters back going, you know what? Let the baby blue have a great time with it. They're a top 10 team. We're just trying to get some folks to come up and see us and hang out with Tuffy and get some votes on the side to be top 20. I think they're laying in the weeds.
Yeah.
I
do. 2-1 a year ago, and in fact, 0-4 elsewise since 2019, 0-3 elsewise since 2019. So there you go.
Yep.
Dave Clawson. This was surprising to me, Pac. 5-10 at Wake Forest following a loss to a ranked opponent. 0-1 last year. Carolina and Clemson on the schedule this year, both in the month of November for the Demon Deeks.
Yeah, if you would have given me the blind resume of Jeff Hafley and Dave Clawson, I would have been wrong. I'd have been wrong. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know 5-10, listen, Halfley's been there 1 year. That would have been easy to figure out. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
somebody's absolutely undefeated. Dave Clawson, 5-10. This guy's a really good football coach. Done a tremendous job in Wake Forest. And that schedule, I'll go back again. September the 18th looks like a neon sign to me. It's just, has the vibe of, hey, could you get off to a crazy 6-0, 7-0 start? You could. But Florida State, to me, is going to be the dictating game for the Demon Deeks.
Look at the back four, though.
I didn't say it was pleasant at the end. I just said the start, because the end is not going to be easy. I don't care what you do.
I mean, I know you go a month where basically you get on the bus, Duke, Carolina, State, Clemson, then Boston College at the end.
Well, November, 3 of the 4 on the road. It'd be nice and balmy in Chestnut Hill Lake, because I do think BC is going to be good.
Coach. I've been there.
And anytime you're on Tobacco Road and you're going to play North Carolina and NC State, those would be intense games. Oh, by the way, there's that trip to Clemson, which is always fun.
Carolina, by the way, non-conference.
That's
game.
Right.
Got to make that.
Still doesn't matter.
No.
Conference, non-conference, when the Demon Deeks, when the Swiss see the baby blue, they'll be ready to go. Intense.
Longing for the days of Larry Russell and Don McCauley.
That's right.
There you have it. Anybody really? Jeff Hafley comes up as the surprise here. Jeff Hafley, Mike Norvell, 1 year of work. They the surprises on this list?
Yeah. Yes. For me, it would be.
Yeah.
Again, if this is a blind resume, even though we destroyed blind resume the other day, Lumberjacks thought they were cute with us.
Yeah, 7 of 8, right?
Oof. Yeah. Dominant.
I get a sense blind resume may come back later this week. Just get a feel for that.
Well, I think there's a chip on the shoulder in Bristol because they knew they were going to make us look like fools more so than we normally are. So that's that deal. How about Dino Babers?
3-8 at Syracuse following a loss to a ranked opponent. 1-2 last year, Coach Babers in the Orange. They have Clemson on October the 15th.
You know, I will say, though, of teams in this league, for whatever reason, Syracuse has always seemingly been kind of a thorn. I mean, you know, they got them the one time midweek, right?
After Friday
the
night dome. Game, yeah.
They had them on the ropes in Death Valley. That's the day Trevor Lawrence got hurt and Chase Bryce had to come in and save them as they went on to win the national championship in dominant form. They've had some interesting games.
And they get Clemson this year on a Friday night.
Yeah, just saying. Crazy stuff happens.
All right. When we come back, oh, Coastal, we didn't forget you. A little chaotic always on the Coastal side. Let's see what the numbers look like for GC5. Coach Diaz, Bronco, and more. We'll do that when we continue right after this on Packer Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham from the basement. 844-SAY-ACCN. The newly decorative basement. Stuff all over the place that you haven't seen
before. Tennis balls on the floor. You going to pick those up later?
Fuller will.
Fuller will, yeah.
One in each. He's sleeping on one. I just looked over there. And actually, he just moved. He had one underneath him as he was sound asleep, and the other ball at his nose. He's got another dozen upstairs that you got to pay attention walking down the hallway.
Yeah, or else you tear a tendon in your knee.
Yeah, again, another one.
All right, so we did this don't get beat twice for the Atlantic.
Back to back.
Now we're going to do the Coastal.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Chaotic.
Now, Mack Brown, we did not take the first run at Chapel Hill, the one from 88 to 97. But we're going to take.
Was the staff exhausted after looking at all these numbers?
I can't speak for the staff.
We're just going to concentrate on the last couple years.
I'll just say that Mac is 2-0 in his current stint following a loss against a ranked opponent.
Well, I think that number at 2-0 is probably more impressive than I'm going to guess that if they did the first stint, it would not be as good as 2-0.
My guess would be that as well.
Because I know that the research staff has a light blue tint to it. That'd be my guess.
At times they do, yes. Yeah,
that'd be my guess.
Especially one of them, yes. Long game here. Only two ranked opponents for Carolina, back-to-back, Miami, North Carolina, or Miami, Notre Dame. What element of this schedule concerns you outside of game one? We're going to wear in game one into the ground, but it's a big game.
Well, game one's important for both sides for a lot of reasons. I think North Carolina's deal is, can they just stay healthy? I think they're talented enough to go crazy this year. I really do. And everybody that's seen them in person in terms of practices in the fall
– right.
They're not raving necessarily about the offense. They're raving about what they're seeing on the defensive side, which to me
it's a good sign.
Tells me if I was a North Carolina fan with the pom-poms out, hey, that's what I want to hear.
Right.
Because I got Sam Howell. He'll figure that thing out. Offensive line's all back. We'll find dudes. I mean, Chandler from Tennessee is supposed to be good back. We got dudes that will catch the football. You know, Max recruited well. But defense wins championships still. If you're going to take it to the next level, and Mac talked about that on our show, the way you do that is you got to be able to tackle people and stop people enough, especially if you have an offense that can score, and North Carolina can do just that. So I look at their schedule and go, man, you know, you got to get off to a good start. That game at Lane Stadium is going to be crazy. But I think you look down that schedule, I think it's pretty manageable if you're North Carolina. I think you take your chances going to Notre Dame this year. Right? You got 2 weeks to get ready for that game. You take your chances with Miami. I mean, you pounded them last year by 100.
Yep.
You got NC State. I mean, that's always a good rock 'em, sock 'em deal. You know how that's going to be played out. So I think if you're North Carolina, you kind of like your spot, to be honest with you.
Pittsburgh next on this list. Pat Narduzzi, 9-5 following a loss against a ranked opponent, including 2-1 last season. Panthers have back-to-back games against Clemson and Miami this year, and 2 weeks later have North Carolina.
Now, that number right there may surprise some people, right? 9-5 for Pat Narduzzi, coming off a ranked loss.
Yep,
I'm with you. I think there's some blind resumes when we go through this. Of about 3 or 4 coaches, you'd go, wow, I don't know if I would have guessed that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team could be good, too. But, all man, right. There is some kind of stretch right there in the middle.
All right. In the light of what we're talking about with Pittsburgh, UMass at Tennessee, we've talked about. Western Michigan, Tim Lester does a really good job in the MAC. New Hampshire. Then Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Miami. Let me call your attention here. Clemson, Miami, we have no idea where Duke is, right? We got that's a work in progress.
I know where they are. I know where Duke is.
Okay. You get 3 in 4 weeks there.
I think you get 3 in a row. Because I think at Virginia Tech, and then you come home with Clemson and Miami. Is that middle to late October, I mean, right there in the sweet spot of the Pitt schedule.
Yeah.
I think that will determine whether or not that run, when North Carolina comes to town, is that big a deal.
All right.
That's what I think.
All right. Justin Fuente, 6-5 following a loss to a ranked opponent at his time in Blacksburg. 2-2 last year in this particular category. This year, 3 games against ranked opponents with Carolina in the opener, Notre Dame on October 9th, Miami on November 20th before Virginia. I think they're going to end up with a 4th ranked opponent, just given the way this. That's the funny part looking at this, where you see just one. More than likely, there'll be 2 of a team, at least, maybe more, if this league handles its business early.
God, I cannot wait for Friday night next week. That is such a big game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for both sides. For
6 o'clock, too.
For
good
North
time.
Carolina to, you know, get off to a great start and justify the hype, and for Virginia Tech to say, guess what? All this chatter about the U in North Carolina. Did you guys forget about us up here in Blacksburg? I mean, it's just got everything you want in an opener, not to mention everybody at Lane Stadium waiting for Metallica. I mean, it's just college football personified at Blacksburg next Friday night.
Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech, 2-2 following a loss to ranked opponents, 1-2 last year with the Jackets. He gets 5 ranked opponents this year.
Eef.
5. Man.
It's a selling tool.
Jeff Collins is like, bring on the Alliance. Throw a Pac-12 and a Big Ten log on the fire, what I got. How about that? Look at that.
Play hard, boys. Seriously, play hard. Stay healthy, number one, and play hard.
I mean, at Clemson, Carolina, back-to-back weeks. By the way, Carolina's at Mercedes-Benz Stadium downtown. Pittsburgh then on October the 2nd, and you think, well, I'll take a breath at Duke again. I'll go to Virginia 2 weeks later. You're going to need that bye on the 16th, aren't you?
I mean, that's just a tough deal.
David Cutcliffe, 8-15 at Duke following a loss to a ranked opponent, 0-2 last year. Duke has Carolina on October 2nd. Miami to close the season this year.
Well, I've said it before, the key to Duke's, to me, is getting off to a blistering pace
you
in
get
September.
The 4-0 going to Chapel Hill on the 2nd is huge.
That's that first game against Charlotte is a game you just got to win. I said Duke at Charlotte, Syracuse at Ohio are games for teams coming off lousy years that they just need to win those games on the road.
Yeah.
You have to.
No, I'm with you on that. Manny Diaz, 1-2 following a loss to a ranked opponent. 1-1 last year. Canes, of course, have Alabama in the opener. Carolina on October the 16th.
Circle Appalachian State, regardless of what happens in week 1, because those boys in Boone, who, by the way, will be playing right here in Charlotte against East Carolina next Thursday. Again, if you upset Alabama, and everybody's high-fiving you, the U is back and all that stuff. You know, you got to be ready to play next week against App State.
Totally agree.
If Alabama puts you in a woodshed hold
right,
and you're feeling down about yourself, you've got to get ready to play apps. I mean, either way or anything in between.
Yep.
Week two, really, this is kind of like the snapshot of this segment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you handle adversity if you lose, you know, a game like Alabama? And again, they're going to be 3-touchdown underdog in all likelihood, according to folks out there in Vegas. So they know what they're up against. You know, we talked to Manny and Joe Zagacki yesterday. And by the way, the all-access thing last night was tremendous. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. I mean, anytime the ESPN crew does an all-access deal, you got to watch it. It was outstanding. Part two, by the way, Wednesday night.
This, when you do stuff like this, you get Jeff Hafley undefeated at 4-0, Mike Norvell 2-0. Then you get a stat and you kind of scratch your head a little bit. Like Pat Narduzzi's 9-5. That's not surprising. I think we realize the long game.
This one is.
Bronco Mendenhall is 1-8 following a loss to a ranked opponent. The lone win was last year. UVA goes to Chapel Hill this year, to Miami. Wake and Louisville are the games that follow. This one, now again, the long game, rebuilding the program, all those things, Pac?
You know, a lot of times it also falls in your schedule. I mean, did you play a ranked team and then the next week have to go on the road? The one thing we know about Virginia is they've been able to take care of business at home.
Right.
They've really, really struggled going on the road. And when you look at this schedule, if you're a Virginia football fan and you're optimistic as you should be, where you're going to have to solve the riddle is at North Carolina, at Miami. You know, you got a game at Pitt.
Right.
You know, you've got to be able to win on the road. You know, you're not going to backdoor your way in to an ACC championship appearance if you don't beat folks away from home.
I will say that 4 of the 8 losses came in his first year as the head coach at Charlottesville. Okay, so, again, long game. Got to look at it. When did those losses occur? How much of it was in the rebuild of it? I remember remember Mike London, who was the coach prior to Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia. Go back and look at Mike London's last 2 years as head coach and Bronco Mendenhall's first year as head coach and the schedule they played. Eerily similar to what, like, Georgia Tech and Florida State have signed up for this year. It's crazy.
A couple interesting numbers, though, of that group.
Yep.
I would have lost the bet, like I said, with Jeff Hafley at 4-0. I would have not guessed that Broncos 1-8. Pat Narduzzi at 9-5 has come somewhat of a surprise.
Yeah.
But again, you got to be ready to play every week. And we got some ranked games early of note, needless to say, with some that are peppered in throughout the course of the regular season. And like I said, to start the show, 9 days away from kicking the pig in Raleigh, and it cannot get here fast enough.
Very excited.
I am.
We asked you on social media last night, what are your best bets for the upcoming ACC football season? What's the one thing you bet will happen this season in ACC football? Well, we've gotten some interesting answers. In fact, we've gotten about 100 of them or more.
We got some too.
Packer and I have got answers. We're going to tell you what ours are, and then we're going to share some of yours too. Ahead of David Hale's visit at 8 o'clock, Roddy Jones at 9. We've got some bets. Collins in the gear. I want the Waffle House 404 chat, by the way. I kind of set my eyes on that. All right, sit tight. Packer and Durham continues. What day is this? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
That's right, Tuesday on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham from the basement. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, you want some guaranteed locks, best bets? We're going to give them to you. Because on this date in 1989.
Listen to you, Big Vegas.
Yeah, you know me. I'm Mr. Lock. On this date, 1989, Pete Rose was banned for life. Banned for life. Much of the chagrin of Kirk Herbstreit. So we figured the best way to do that is to come up with our best bets for the ACC.
Sure.
So, some of these are meant to be entertaining. Again, we're here to inform and entertain you.
Right.
So don't go too crazy.
Right.
We may be banned after this segment. First things first, UVA. I just talked about being on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
UVA will beat FPI's prediction that the Hoos will lose every single road game. I'm contending, West Durham, that I will take the Hoos over zero over FPI with the bet this year. Me against FPI.
Okay.
Now, I know the Hoos haven't been great on the road. I get it. And here's the schedule. And it's tough. North Carolina, Miami, Louisville, BYU, Pitt. But I do not believe Virginia will have an offer here. So I'm going to go up against FPI and bet them on this. All right.
Which one you want to?
It doesn't matter. As long as there's a one, I get the W.
All right.
So you choose your poison. I would sense that Virginia fans would probably look at that and say, we'll just take a W in that first one and be good. Right?
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
I think that's what the Virginia fans would say.
And the second one, by the way.
Well, I mean, if you want to get greedy, pick the second one too if you're in the mood. But hey, all I need is one W.
There you go.
And by the way, Virginia, zero road wins in 2020.
That's it.
All right. So that's that. Bet number two. I bet you that Boston College Jeff Hafley will be paying state income tax, or at least property tax, in Pickens County, South Carolina. Because I swear to you, every year I look at the schedule in college football, and it just seems like Boston College is at Death Valley every single year. I know there's scheduling quirks. Sometimes there's a fake left, go right. But, man, how long has it been since Dabo and the boys have visited beautiful Boston in Chestnut Hill? It just seems like they're never there. So, Jeff Hafley, Pickens County, as you all know, in October is a beautiful place, unless you got to play a game. And then it can get a little difficult. But nevertheless, Pickens County will be expecting a nice check from you. Probably got a nice comment in it, because BC always at Clemson.
Okay.
Bet number three. I'm going to bet you that Florida State, as we speak, is restocking the ice in their operations center. Why? Because E.J. Manuel is rolling into town tomorrow for the ACC tour. And every time I've seen E.J. Manuel
He's
visit,
throwing deep.
He is throwing the football.
It's unbelievable.
He's got that old arm, man. Let me tell you something. E.J.'s not in the NFL anymore, man, but he is still slinging it. He's ricocheting the balls off goalposts, down and outs. Every time I see the ACC tour on the road and E.J.'s there, he is throwing the rock all over the yard. So I bet you that right now, Florida State is restocking ice in the football operations center for his arrival tomorrow.
I'm actually in on that one.
You're in?
I'm
like
in
that?
On that one tomorrow.
All right. I bet you.
Oh, no.
That my man, and I'm assuming it's a guy, could be a girl, don't know yet, because I haven't met him or her yet. But I bet you that Tuffy, the newly pedicured wolf pup at NC State, is expecting big things in its future, beginning next week, Thursday, when we come rolling into town. Tuffy, sensing an opportunity for greatness, live television. New pedicure, no talons, after Eric McClain's claim last week.
Tuffy has no idea.
Bet you that North Carolina's football program, which is preseason AP top 10, will be ranked higher than Hubert Davis's first edition in Chapel Hill.
In the preseason. Okay.
Don't think North Carolina will be top 10 in hoops.
All right.
But they are in football.
There you go.
Now, you going to go football school on me there or not? You can wait on that for a little bit?
I would go with that bet.
You like
right
that?
Now, preseason, yes. Carolina 10, I don't know that Carolina hoops will be 10.
I don't think they will be.
Right.
All right, so there you go. I got a couple more real quick.
Sure.
I bet you that if we had a 100-yard dash of pure horses and thoroughbreds in this league, Renegade against Sabre, Florida State against Virginia. They start at the goal line, 100-yard race. I bet you Renegade wins by a nose.
Would beat Sabre?
By a nose. Okay. You're allowed flaming spears and swords in the race.
In the race?
Yes. And finally, I bet you that the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech gets better gas mileage than my Ford F-150.
Both are Fords, by the way.
I'm just telling you, it gets better gas mileage than my current red Ford F-150, which we'll try to get to Raleigh next week. There you go. Those are my bets for 21 ACC football.
The Ford F-150 will have a hard time getting to Raleigh because about 45 minutes from here, there'll be an automatic detour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got my spot at Lexington. And by the way, I'm going to hit it twice. I'm hitting it on the way up that night after the radio show. And then immediately following, I got to get back downtown, and I will stop at Lexington on the way home. Guaranteed.
Nice.
There you go.
All right. Mine are not nearly as entertaining. I bet the ACC will produce at least two 1,000-yard rushers this year.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm going with two. I think there could be more, but at least two. At least four schools will wear at least four uniform combinations, four different uniform combinations this year.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing now, yesterday Miami released some jerseys. We're seeing combinations now like NC State would be one of my four, by the way.
Carolina.
Louisville.
Louisville, for sure. But the Jackets. Can the Jackets go four?
Georgia Tech.
I mean, you know our man.
Yeah, because Georgia Tech's got the all-white Stormtrooper look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll definitely do that.
Yeah. There we are. I'm looking at least four. At least four schools will wear at least four different uniform combinations this year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Pittsburgh's got a chance to draw something out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Syracuse got three different color helmets.
Yeah, you know when you got three helmets, you got at least four combos. You know that's true.
That's all I'm saying. At least four schools will have at least four combinations. The ACC, now this is my one that I stepped out on. The ACC is going to have at least one finalist for the Heisman, the Outland Trophy, and the Davey O'Brien Award. At least one finalist.
I don't think that's a stretch. I don't.
Because I think the one area that the ACC is really strong in that's been overlooked, we've talked about quarterbacks, so it's easy for Heisman and O'Brien, right? The offensive linemen in this league are really good. There's some really, really talented offensive line play in this league.
Yeah, I don't think that's a stretch. I do not.
Okay.
By the way, I'll give you one more. After watching All Access last night, I bet you that the University of Miami football team in one day, literally in 1 hour, hit more lousy shots at Top Golf than I have in the last quarter of a century. I'll bet you that. You want to take that bet?
There were some bad swings at Top Golf.
But it was great. It was really entertaining. It was funny. There you go.
Yeah.
Good Lock show. Bets.
By the way, congratulations to our great crew last night to put that together.
They were.
Top to bottom, Chris Duzan, all those guys involved.
Part two Wednesday.
Yeah. Doozy does a great job. Mm-hmm. And they've got a great crew putting that together. And I know they had fun doing it.
Yep.
So, All Access with Miami Football, part two next Wednesday night. How convenient, right ahead of our visit to Raleigh in the start of the season. When we come back, hour two of this program on a Tuesday, David Hale from ESPN.com, latest news on the Alliance following last night's developments of what is expected to be announced later today. See you next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.